Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm John Lewis McBrien, here, as always, with my trusty producer, campaign manager, Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hello, John. How is your Thanksgiving?
Boy, do I not like being called John.
Well, better get used to it.
I know, I got to get used to it, but man, because it's just John. What am I, some provincial peasant?
You're a man running for office. That's what you are.
And for everybody else who seems to keep struggling with McBrien, here's what you do. You take Mick, like the first two letters of McDonald's, and then you take Brian, but you spell it B-R-I-E-N.
Yeah.
Done. There it is. I hope we solved the mystery.
Yeah.
If anybody's watching the video, which a lot of people are, we're loving the numbers. Thank you. The engagement. I'm wearing a flannel shirt, which I honestly can't remember if I wore in January or February. I very well might have.
I don't think so.
Probably not, but there is a chance I did. But Mike says no, we don't need an official ruling, but we can count it. But I am wearing a shirt that I have worn before, which is my Dark Brandon t-shirt when Joe Biden was running for president for re-election. Because I thought, it's a Dark Brandon kind of day and week.
Yeah.
And I think the John Lewis McBrien effect is starting to kick in with the Democrats, and it's starting at the top with sleepy Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. I think he said this week, oh, wait, I'm going to do the right thing, even if people think it's the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm no longer worried about what they think. I know what's right. This won't be a big deal in a couple of months. And so I'm going to do it. And we have, of course, know by now, obviously, we're talking the day after, but this won't go up for a few days. President Joe Biden pardoned his son, Hunter Biden, for his crimes. And I am 100% for it. How do you feel about it, Mike?
I mean, I don't really know even enough about the trial and what he was really on trial for, to be honest.
His tax trial was going to happen, I think, later. But this was a trial of, I believe he lied on a federal document to get a gun, where it was like, are you addicted to drugs or are you using drugs? And he at the time was engaged in addiction.
Yes.
And lied, which is a funny felony. It's kind of a funny felony to be like, are you a drug addict?
Yeah.
Well, you know who would lie on that? A drug addict.
Right. Right.
I mean, like, and so he had a plea deal, but it was deemed, you know, too much of a sweetheart deal by Republicans. So then the deal was rescinded. I think I want to say, I may be wrong here, but it might have been by a Trump appointed judge. Mm. And so it went to trial. He was convicted. He probably wasn't going to give that sentence to something too bad. But here's what I think Joe Biden thought. Donald J. Trump is a 34 times convicted felon.
Yep.
Not a man of the highest character, who is talking about appointing Kash Patel to run the FBI, yep, basically an extremist and sycophant. Those are his qualifications. Mm-hmm. I think he worked for like the Suffolk County or Nassau County Prosecutor's Office for a week at some point.
That's who you want in charge of the Bureau.
Of the FBI, right. He's going to root out corruption. Like, this isn't Elliot fucking Ness you're appointing to run the FBI.
Yeah.
Pam Bondi, who only in comparison to Matt Gaetz looks good to run the AG's office. Mm-hmm. Pam Bondi, I think we may have discussed it last week, basically was going to participate in a lawsuit against Trump University. And then the Trump Foundation sent a $25,000 check to Pam Bondi. And all of a sudden, Pam Bondi said, nah, or to quote show favorite Steve Van Sant. Nah, 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 nah.
Been a while. Nah.
Hello, little Stevie.
I mean, listen, I do think that there is, at this point, there is, the way you feel about it, I do think there is no real point in Biden being afraid of being criticized for being a hypocrite or for, I mean, if the Trump, convictions were political, which, I mean, maybe it in the slightest degree, but I believe that he did the things that he was convicted of as well. I think it's very hard for anybody that is not in the public eye that is being prosecuted for something. They are there's probably some level of political involvement in their being brought up on charges, I would think, just by the the sheer fact that they're sort of in the public eye, they're in a place where I do think it's a position where their power can be sort of abused even softly.
Do you want to just talk about baseball right now?
Am I doing a bad job? Anyway, what were you going to say about this Hunter Biden thing?
Well, I think what he's embracing is it's not so much I don't care anymore. I would argue that he is doing the just thing, because there's people who are in my mentions. A lot of people agreed with me, of course, because I'm right. Mm-hmm. But there were those people who were wrong, who disagreed with me.
Was it that bad, what I just did?
It was sort of...
I was trying to get somewhere.
I think we would call that a filibuster.
Okay.
But we were... What I think Biden did, come on, man, was justice. Like, justice doesn't necessarily mean Joe Biden must continue to fall on his sword for America to earn us, to earn our respect. Mm-hmm. Your respect, America? Do you see who you just reelected?
Yeah.
Respect for rule of law? Do you see who he wants to put in charge of the FBI and the Attorney General's office? Respect? Subjecting your son to the whims and capricious villainy of the Trump 2.0 Justice Department, that would be wrong. That's a cruel and unusual punishment to drop some Eighth Amendment knowledge on folks.
Yeah.
The idea of like, sorry, son, the people who told me to fuck off that I was an old piece of shit and never said thank you for all I did, man. They don't want me to pardon you, my only living son,
right?
Because all of a sudden they believe in rule of law and keeping your word, man. Well, fuck that, Jack. Hey, we just had a slight technical difficulty. I was getting too fired up and Mike got too excited. But what I was saying, I think, was Joe Biden shouldn't have to be the last person to have integrity in this country. Like, people, for some reason, this is what I've been bitching about for years now, and on this show especially, this idea of, like, we're watching Donald Trump make a complete mockery. And I think to cleanse our sins, and I'm going to make a comparison here.
Mm-hmm.
This is like if Jesus Christ, I'm not saying Joe Biden's Jesus Christ, but if Jesus Christ were around today and on the cross and he was like, I don't think I want to.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all be like, hey, hey, man, what the fuck, Jesus? Let him kill you. How dare you? It's foretold by your father.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Guess I'm an atheist now. Guess I'm an atheist. Wow. Wow, Jesus. How disappointing. I thought you had honor. I thought you were better than us. Turns out you're human.
Yeah.
And we have this need for Joe Biden to now be some sort of like, we're so sad about the election. We're so mad. I had some guy in my mentions today talking about Hillary Clinton. And how maybe Joe Biden doesn't have any more fucks to give because he knows he let the worst candidate run in 2016 instead of running. And I was like, will any of you assholes let go of the Hillary Clinton is the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Is she a problem or is she your ex-girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like, America, Hillary Clinton, the fucking Clintons.
It's been 10 years, man.
Hillary Clinton, you piece. I fucking hate. She was such a horrible candidate. Right, because it's not us.
Yeah.
It's Hillary Clinton. It's not us. It's Joe Biden didn't sacrifice his son. Is he fucking Abraham? Clip it. Is Joe Biden Abraham? And the pieces of shit of America said, bring me your drug-addicted son. And Joe Biden said, all right, man, I'm coming up the hill, American people. And while Joe Biden was carrying his son to slaughter, America decided to fuck itself in the ass and elect Donald Trump again, who rapes women and is an awful person and is making a mockery of justice and law and everything else. And when Sleepy Joe got to the top of the mountain, he said, all right, man, you want me to kill Hunter? What's up? Yes, you must, because it's the only way we will have satisfaction. Are you guys doing anything on your end, Jack? You like voting for the right candidate? Who won, man? Who won the election while I was carrying Hunter? That doesn't matter. You promised. All right, but who won the election, man? Kamala Harris been the election, Jack? No. RFK Jr.? Who? Donald J. Trump won, and he won the popular vote. All right, man. Well, that's disappointing, Jack. All right, well, I guess is he putting, like, decent people in charge of department? No, he's putting the worst people in America in charge of important positions. You still want me to kill Hunter? God, people, American people? Yes, it's the only way for America to save itself. I mean, my son wrote on a form, man. And if I kill him here, you know who's going to handle after? It's going to be Trump and his people who are going to bully him more. That's the price you pay, Joe Biden, for us being worthless. Yeah, I'm not going to kill Hunter, man. I'm not kidding. I will smite you, Joe Biden. We are the American people, and we won't stand for you doing this. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
Fucking Abraham having to kill his own son to satisfy a vengeful God or American people. I think justice, what I told somebody is I think this is justice. Justice is not always law. It's not always the word of law. Yeah. Justice is sometimes, hey, does Hunter Biden really deserve to possibly go to jail and be subjected to more prosecutions by deeply unscrupulous, vengeful people? No.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. So justice is what Joe Biden did. But did he break his word? As far as I'm concerned, I'm not one to call. He said he wouldn't pardon him, I believe. I believe he said he would not pardon him. And he did. And America just once again is fully aware that the Republicans and MAGA couldn't give a single solitary shit about what they want, what they think, what's right. So instead, they have to go, Joe Biden, how dare you? Donald Trump says he's going to pardon the January 6th insurrectionists.
Well, right. Yeah, you start getting into that territory and it's just like.
But Joe Biden's son.
Yeah.
Who he would be leaving at the discretion of Trump once again. Like a man who keeps saying, I'm out for vengeance.
Yeah.
Like Steven Seagal with the pool balls in the sock. Bah! Out for Justice. Did you ever see that one? I love that.
I don't
one.
Know. I can't tell them apart. I know Under Siege because I remember the woman popping out of
Erica Oleniak.
Yeah, that's the
one
only
of the top 25 performances in history, according to this podcast.
That's the only Steven Seagal movie I remember as like a standalone movie. I've seen a lot of him doing his whole thing, but I don't know which movies.
Hard Target, I have a vivid memory of because I've probably seen that one the most. Under Siege, I remember. Yeah. And Marked for Death, I remember it being maybe my favorite one. And he goes into a pool hall at one point, and I just always thought that's got to hurt.
Yeah.
Dumps a couple pool balls into a sock.
I do remember. I remember the fight scene. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Okay. And that must fucking hurt for sure.
Can you? Sometimes I'll just pick up a pool ball and I'm like, ah.
Yeah, I know.
Dude. That'll break your fucking jaw. Like everything will break. Yep. He was just like, imagine that. I feel like that would be even worse than what Alec Baldwin did.
Killing somebody with a gun?
Yeah. If somebody.
Is it worse?
Yeah. If somebody. I was on set and it was supposed to be a soft pool ball and somebody put a real pool ball and just cracked me in the mouth and my mouth caved in, I'd be like, just kill me.
It would be, it would not be good. I can tell you that.
I'll put this real pool ball in there. Steven Seagal as Joe Biden. Jack. Hey. Come on, man. Anyway, kudos to Joe Biden, because I think this is the kind of energy I'm talking about. This is the kind of energy I want on my campaign. Justice is called justice, Mike. Not justice is always not always the law. Sometimes justice requires us to go beyond the law to get the just result. It's justice. Mm-hmm. And I know he went on his word, but like this, we have to wake up in this country. Like the outrage at Joe Biden. It's almost like Joe Biden has given people this chance. I don't know if there's like always these mythological things where you'll see in a horror movie, like every year they bring out a goat and they put their evil, they sacrifice it to pour their evil into it and then cleanse themselves for the year. It's like Joe Biden is like a sacrificial goat right now. They're like, I can't think about the fact that our country is a disgraceful mess.
Yeah.
ethically, morally, about to be probably economically and politically. Joe Biden did what? And like we go sprinting to condemn him with like more vigor than we did against most things Trump did.
So your mentions are bad.
No, my mentions are mostly good. But okay. Like anything, whether it's a joke, a review, I focus on the bad ones.
Yeah, sure. Because so, I mean, overall, what you're seeing is that it's mostly negative.
A lot of media of like, you know, there's the best response I've seen in the media outside of maybe people saying I'm fine with it, like who are like Democratic surrogates. Is he broke his word to the people. The presidential power is being abused here. But I'm not surprised. Obviously, it's his son.
Yeah.
But this idea, once again, Democrats have to be the guardians of
morality
and etiquette and proper. And like I said, I made the analogy when we announced this campaign of, and we are British soldiers and we fire our rifles like this. Oh, we're all dead because they don't play by the same rules, but we died with honor. To quote my man, Braun, in Game of Thrones, you fight with no honor, pointing to the dead guy through the hole. He did. That's what we need. Like, that's what it's about right now. And we're not learning our lesson. Why? Like, we're not learning our lesson. And that's the lesson I want to say, where is justice can some in this country right now, more than maybe not more than ever, to be honest, justice is becoming separate from legality. We have a Supreme Court that is interested in protecting Republicans. We have a country that can't get over the fact that it's a bad place full of bad, morally questionable people.
Well, yes.
So instead we go to the guy that we thought was perfect or we wanted to be perfect. And when he's not perfect, we hammer him so much harder. And anybody, and I'm not even saying surprised from you're not surprised, it's his son. I'm saying anybody surprised that he does, like, that. I think he would have, my guess is that he would have commuted his sentence and left him as a felon, as like a penalty, if Kamala Harris had gotten elected. That's what I believe. Yeah. I believe he would have said, my son will be safe. My son did do wrong. I think it's important that the country see this. But if the country that told me to fuck off, to repeat this, and then we can go to a break.
That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Like, so let me get this straight.
If the country told you to fuck off and the country thinks you're an old scumbag anyway, then why not just live out your final days as an old scumbag doing the thing?
But you're framing it as scumbag.
What fucking difference does it make?
Like imagine you're Jesus on the cross and everybody out there is like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're no king. And he goes, you know what?
Yeah.
You're not getting saved.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Boop.
Right.
Boop. Bye. Yeah, going back to my carpentry studio. Yeah.
Anybody got some gauze?
Yeah. Don't mind the thunderclap above, but Papa's pissed. I would like if that's what it's like. It's like we require a country cannot stand and survive if it requires John Rambo performative masculinity with Christ-like sacrifice. And that seems to be what we demand of our of Democrats. I want to make I'm just to sum this up before we get to today's topic after the break.
Which is?
We'll get to it. Oh. They'll know already. I got shows coming up, folks. I know probably your least favorite thing in the world, but I do have them. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania next week, Friday and Saturday, the 13th and 14th. Rutherford, New Jersey, everybody, the Williams Center. By the time this episode goes up, the ticket link should be on my website. I am doing a stand-up special as Donald Trump. And not like me doing stand-up and, oh, isn't this funny? If Donald Trump, I'm so deep in the character, if Donald Trump were a comedian, what would his 45-minute set be? Complaints about cancel culture, some trans material, some family stuff.
Like Chappelle.
Some jokes that aren't good, but he thinks are good, you know, and it's like he's in the wrong room. So that will be, you want to know the title I've come up with?
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it, but I really want to spoil it. Inauguration is my favorite N-word. Thank you. It's a great title.
Might hurt the campaign, but I like it. I get it.
Yeah.
It's not act. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you laughed. That's a good sign.
I did laugh. Yeah.
I think that's a great title. Rochester, New York. I've had people for years ask me to come to Rochester. They're probably all dead, but I am coming to Rochester, New York, January 16th. It should be nice and warm up there. And then I will be in Charlotte at the end of February. Tickets not available yet. And then I will be in Vegas as part of the Pod Jam, which I was there last year. Can't wait to go back at the end of March. So just if you're in one of those cities, make sure you've penciled it in or circled the week that I'm going to be there. But end of February, Charlotte, end of March, Vegas. Hopefully more shows to come, but I haven't had a single email for a gig replied to in the last 3 months.
Uh-oh.
So, no, that's always a good sign. When you're 21 years in, you've accomplished a lot. And, anyway, love comedy, love America. That is, if there's any message from this podcast that people can get, it's that I love this country and I love comedy. When we come back, we're gonna just take the next step in this campaign. I told Pete Dominic, I was on Pete Dominic's podcast earlier this week, that these few months are really constructing the candidate. So it's not yet like, I hope by the spring to be like, okay, it's time for my stylist. Like, give me a name of a political, somebody who styles or advises politicians mm-hmm. on their look. Things like that. We're going to start bringing like those people in as guests, which I know you'll love.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Less time for me to talk.
Yeah.
And, but that's not where we are yet. We're still just kind of forming the overall vibe, the overall message. So we're going to talk more about that after the break. See you then. And we're back. Mike, how was that break?
Informative.
Yeah. Mike finally learned what we were going to talk about. I knew the whole time, but Mike learned just on that break.
Yeah.
It wasn't a surprise to both of us.
And it's robust.
Yeah. Two things I want to talk about as we advance this campaign, because I think if any consultant were to sit with me, like a brand consultant would be like, what's our slogan?
Uh-huh.
And a political consultant would say, what's the dirt?
Uh-huh.
We got to know what the dirt is so that we can then frame it. Okay. So teaser, we'll do dirt second. Because I know everybody's going, ooh, what did JL do? Who's going to come out and just hammer him with scandal after scandal? But slogans, Mike.
Yes.
A couple things. I workshop these during my time during a day job. You know, while I'm sort of double billing, I'm working for the client, but also talking to the person next to me going, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Strong through strength was one, as dumb as that may sound.
Strong through strength?
Yes. Or strength through strength.
Okay.
And here's, and here's the thing, Mike, because everybody likes to say peace through strength. That's mm-hmm. the popular one of like peace through, Democrats are viewed as like peace through pussy.
Yeah.
And not the good kind that you sexually assault, but just by being weak.
Yes. Naturally.
You know, whereas, a lot of people, including Republicans, love that peace through strength. Like we'll have peace
mm-hmm.
because they will fear us and our might.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, how do you one up peace through strength? What do people really want in this country? To be strong.
Right.
And how do you exhibit strength? Through strength.
Right.
Now that sounds dumb, but I bet you I could rhetorically turn this and go, no, I know it sounds dumb, but hear me out. We are a strong country. I think our peace goes without saying when you're strong.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't even need to talk about peace. Under me, we'll have peace. That's a given.
So much peace, you'll get tired of peace.
You'll get tired of peace and join an MMA club and beat the shit out of your neighbor.
Yeah.
And want the purge.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously strength through strength is kind of like a borderline parody phrase. Yet, as I said it, I was like, if I said it, it might be dumb. If Trump said it, they want peace through strength. You heard this? Peace. They say peace. A lot of people say peace through strength. And I like that. I like the peace through strength. You can have peace through strength. You know what I like? You know what I like more than that, Mike? I like strength through strength. How about that? Do we like strength? Because we are strong. We're so strong. We're big and strong. You see us walk in, we're strong. And you say, that guy's strong. That's not peace. That's us showing our strength.
Yeah.
They don't even want to approach peace. They don't even want to approach us. That's how peaceful it is. Because we have strength. It's called strength through strength. If he said that, they'd be like, strength through strength. Strength through strength.
Strength.
Through, now, yeah, I don't think we should be as dumb to go full tard
Yes.
You don't go full. When you're coming up with a campaign slogan, you go full retard. Trump, make America great. Stupid. Yes. Full retard? No.
Yes.
So that was like a parody one I came up with.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote, said on Blue Sky, which is a true nightmare, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's just everybody going, we're on Blue Sky. And they're going to get some harsh truths from me on Blue Sky. I'm not there to coddle. I'm there to be a weapon of righteousness for the left, not to be, strength through strength is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Blue Sky.
Right, of course.
But somebody said, crass and caring. Something like that. Like, and I don't know.
Like, I like strength through strength better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, but it wasn't so much a slogan, but it was like, that got me thinking of like the juxtaposition mm-hmm. of like embracing my kind of plain spoken comedy club delivery and speech with a heart.
Yeah.
But you don't want to say caring heart, non-starters. So basically, I mean, I want to workshop a little bit with you, and obviously I'd love people in the crowdsourcing this candidate. I can't even call it a campaign yet, but a candidate, because I have to do my own work. I have to lose weight. I have to get a stylist. All these things that are superficial, but important. But, as far as slogans, Mike, what do you think I'm trying to convey to people? A new form of Democrat. As we said last week, a humble presidency, but that doesn't mean necessarily a humble president.
Right.
But a presidency that is more collaborative. Collaboration, still one of those buzzwords that's too close to DEI. Mm-hmm. Though I did write in my blog recently, and I thought, which is if you have a chance to read the blog I wrote yesterday or 2 days ago, it's sort of a little bit of a blueprint for how I'm approaching this, which is, at one point I said inclusivity is part of DEI, but the Constitution, and this is the kind of way I can speak to people. You may not like DEI. You may be, it's a boogeyman. Oh, DEI. That means they're just taking people who aren't qualified and giving them my opportunities or forcing people and things and talks down our throat. But I said, if you think diversity is an annoying buzzword, I can hear you on that. Equity just sounds like corporate speak. But inclusion, that's where I say, no, you're not getting rid of inclusion. That one we have to keep, because the Constitution, if you look at it and you know it, which I know many of you don't, it is an ever expanding document. It was a document of ever expanding inclusion. That mm-hmm. is what the Constitution is. It started narrow for a certain group of people. And as we progressed, it included more. If the Constitution can be down with inclusivity, I don't know why you can't be.
Yeah.
And that is, inclusivity is a hallmark of this country, whether it's immigration, whether it's rights for different looking people, different genders, different ages. You know, hey, 18-year-olds can now vote. They couldn't vote before. So I was sort of saying we have to sort of find a way to show our compassion in like blunt terms. So I thought that was a good way of explaining inclusivity as like, that is a good value. Don't talk about corporate speak. We are a country of inclusion. Like, and every time we make progress, it's because we've included more people in the American dream and the American system. And so I want a slogan that will sort of combine strength, whether or not it's physical strength, although when I get on stage at 6'7", 240, it's going to sure look like strength. And I'm 300 right now, people. And not 300 in the Sparta ripped abs kind of way. But I want strength, and I want my sharpness. You know, like if you wanted to be a comedian who cares, but that's not the phrase, but that's what I want to convey. So do any words come to mind that can convey, I want it to convey inclusivity, but I don't want it to say inclusive.
Do any words come to mind?
F- funny man, serious candidate. Like, that's terrible. No, I know. That's terrible. What do you think of me? Let's have, this will be fun.
Okay.
And you can be funny, but also when you think of good qualities of mine or bad or outstanding, and I mean outstanding, like qualities that are obvious, not necessarily like my great qualities, but like what words come to mind?
Tall.
Okay.
What else comes to mind?
Great. Okay. So we've got tall. Let me write that one down. Tall. We've got tall so far.
Very smart. I do think that you're very smart.
Integrity, intensity, yeah. Inclusivity.
But I think that using the word inclusivity is bad, you know.
But intensity, integrity.
Intensity and integrity is good. You have another I?
Inclusivity.
No, but not that. It can't be that. Because inclusivity loses you elections, yes. As we just saw.
Not in together. That's the together was like Hillary's or something, like forward and together. I don't want that. Intensity.
Integrity, intensity, and
inevitable.
In control.
Well, I'm definitely not that. I like inevitable.
But the American
making myself
people don't
sound
need to
like
know
a
that.
Cyborg from the future.
I am inevitable.
Yeah, Thanos. I'm just trying to
intensity
think
made integrity. But intensity, I kind of like, just because it's like, whoa, people don't just call themselves intense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fucking intense.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's intense.
Right.
He can smoke weed, but guarantee you, when he's doing his work, he's intense.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing his work as intensity, integrity, hilarity. No.
It does have to be another I.
Yeah. Or we have to abandon the I sequence.
Yeah. Right, but no, intensity and integrity are too good.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, they're too good. You just need that third eye. Intensity and integrity, really, that's a good start to your rule of three.
But I also feel like it needs to end with a T, like a T-Y, to really finish it off.
Maybe, unless it's a really damn good I word.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to Google words that start with I.
Nice. Podcast gold.
Let's see if we
there's somebody listening probably words. Who's like ingenuity.
Yeah. Yeah,
ingenuity.
Yeah. Words that start with I. Okay, what comes up? All right, ice. That doesn't work. Infection.
Perfect.
Yeah. Intensity.
Republicans are like a virus.
And we are on a website that are letters that start with I for kids.
It's like Jeopardy. Yeah. For kids. Great.
Yeah.
But they'll be adults soon.
Yeah. What about this? All right. This might be good.
Okay.
Integrity, intensity, imagination.
What?
That's kind of good.
Because that kind of brings in the creative,
yeah.
Comedian art. Like,
yeah.
Whoa.
That's pretty good.
Integrity, intensity, imagination.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's good, right?
I really like that. I want the people to weigh in, but I like that.
The only other one that I've seen so far.
Can you see me on a screen, on a shirt or on a poster? Now, I got to use the photo of me from like a show when I, like in 2021, when I had a good jawline. We got to get that back before we do photos.
Yeah.
But like a kind of half smile, sort of looking off to the distance, but not the I'm noble, I'm part of new change, and we're going to enter a new era. That's, and I'm sort of mocking Obama,
mm-hmm.
but it worked for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not lofty. I'm not trying to be lofty. But like kind of a slight smirk. Looking off into the distance, and it just says, integrity, intensity, imagination.
The only other ones that I've seen so far that I like, I mean, imagination, I think, is the winner either way.
They will change it to imaginary.
And,
that's we have to obviously plan for parody posters.
Sure.
Insane.
Inscrutable.
Insane. Impotent.
Impotent. Yeah.
For impossible.
Sure. Yeah. Impossible was on. Yeah. Impossible. inclusive, illustrious, insightful. Yeah. I just think imagination is the one that it's got to be that.
Okay. So that's our first. Do you have a pen by any chance?
No.
Oh, okay. We're all.
I do have a pen.
Hold we're on. Cashless. We're penless. Okay. So first option, because we need to come up with a couple.
Of course.
I'd like to, but okay. This is a good one though. Integrity.
Intensity.
Because intensity gives you the strength.
Yeah.
Imagination gives you the hope. It gives you hope and creativity without being gay.
Yeah. It's like they cover every pillar of things. It's like in the integrity, like, you know, old people would like that.
Yes.
Intensity, chicks are going to like that. Chicks love intensity.
They don't normally like too much intensity from a 6'7" guy who's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe that's true.
But we're not... We're going to win the chick vote.
Mike. Yeah, of course.
Right. We're Democrats. Right. We win the chick vote. And I'm going to win maybe a little bit more.
Okay.
But I'm looking for Obama-Clinton numbers. Maybe not JFK.
Yeah.
But we're looking for Obama-Clinton numbers.
And then you have...
Intensity can is a coded word to some of the bros.
Yeah.
Like, true. Don't be a... That's a perceived sort of masculine trait.
Yeah, bro. I'm not mid.
Yeah.
I'm intense. And then you have imagination. That's going to be for all the nerds.
And LGBTQ.
And yeah.
It's a little coded.
Yeah.
Arts.
Yeah.
Whatever they mean. Graphic or performance.
I think it covers everything.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a great start. Now, I am putting down strength through strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I
that just, looks good on a poster where you look like Stalin. I think.
That's, you know what that is? That's more of a, not a catchphrase out of the gate. Integrity, intensity, imagination. That's your campaign slogan.
Right.
But strength through strength is meme.
Yeah.
That's, I dropped that in an interview, you know, where they say, well, what will your foreign policy be? Like more passive or more muscular? My policy is strength through strength.
Strength through strength, right.
Deborah. Now, it's not a slogan for the campaign.
Now, all right, let's practice this. Let's practice this. Yeah. All right, I'm George Stephanopoulos, all right, and you're JL. No, you're John Lewis McBride. Now, candidate McBride.
McBride.
Excuse me. What is your overall overarching policy for this campaign? What do you want the American people to believe about what you're bringing to the table as a candidate?
First off, I think any of my friends, any of my colleagues will say integrity,
yes,
which I think has been lacking for obvious reasons, mm-hmm, in our politics. And as you know, I'm not just saying that in a partisan way of like, give me Democrats. I'm saying, give me people of integrity.
Yes.
I can work with Republicans of integrity. I'm not demanding that we have 100 Democrats in the Senate or 435 in the House. I do know, you know, how many are in each. Mm-hmm. But I think integrity is first and foremost. Intensity. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've, and I don't want to make this a gender thing because I grew up with a very strong mother who was as intense as anybody I've ever known. But I do think we've made men in this country maybe a little bit hesitant. I don't think it's as overblown as some people and podcasters on the right would say. But I do think we've made men maybe a little hesitant to, I just listened to a podcast with Scott Galloway talking about how few times young men come these days. So it's an issue.
Yes. And we've interviewed Scott Galloway on this program.
Great guy.
It does seem like quite an issue.
Yeah. And so I think intensity is the second kind of word of my campaign, because I think we need to embrace that. I think when you want to do something well, intensity doesn't mean frowning and angry necessarily. It means giving it your all, you know, leading, being strong and not being ashamed of it. But also it doesn't mean bullying, but intensity, I think, is very important. That tells you what kind of work ethic I'm going to bring to the table. Please don't interview most of my former employers on that. And third, I'd say imagination, because, you know, for my adult life, I've been a stand-up comedian, and it takes imagination to come up with things. It takes imagination to envision a better future. It takes imagination to make things run. I know we crap on the arts a lot as like not important. But I think as John Keating said in Dead Poets Society, he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but math, science, these are the things, biology, these are the things that make the world work and make life. But poetry, art, these are the things that make life worth living for. So I think, you know, I think that's what I want to bring to the table. Somebody who has, you know, one hand with a sort of intensity in this world and an imagination that can envision a better world and will work hard to get there while doing it with integrity.
All right. Now I'm Mike again. Only notes, kind of gay, but other than that, okay. Pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's off the cuff, too.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm fucking ready. Yeah. I just have to, at some point, I'm going to have to brainwash myself and be like, I'm no longer me. I'm in a performance.
I believe you could do that. If it's something that a psychopath needs to do, I think you can get it done. If I had a guess.
What if Ted Bundy were bigger?
Yeah.
Would you elect him president? Okay, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
To be honest.
Yeah.
And then obviously I would want him to talk about, you know, you've been light on details on foreign policy, you know, and that's when like either foreign policy strength through strength would come up as a, and it would probably be a humorous meme for a second, but it would also probably own the news cycle. Mm-hmm. And then that's the kind of phrase that could maybe get a Joe Rogan to be like, hey, I don't know if I'm voting for the guy, but yeah. Like, I kind of like this idea of strength.
Wow, man, to like make a campaign slogan like that. It's just, like,
I like it. Like,
that
I'm
takes like serious, like balls, dude.
Like that's, I thought, like, Trump was tough, but then McBrien added two strengths to his phrase. Okay. So, but what do you think? You have tall. Should tall be the start of a slogan?
I think it's important.
Yeah.
You gotta remember the country that you're trying to be in charge of.
What would be, and then I want to get to, maybe we can talk about some scandals a little bit, because I do have to catch a train and do another podcast after this.
Sure.
The grind never stops.
That's right. I would also like to leave.
and he's doing this and it hasn't even been a long time yet.
It's been 45.
Jeez, man. Every week it gets shorter. Soon you're going to be like, Jay, it's been 10 minutes already.
Listen, you haven't lost me yet. I'm just saying.
I am fighting for our country here. I'm sorry if that's a problem for you. Well, I want to come up with one more slogan, at least for people to choose from. Because I really do think integrity, intensity, imagination, and the very eloquent way I just defended it is pretty good.
It's good. Yeah, I like it.
But what's another one? What is another sort of, it can be one word. It can be two words. It can be three. It can be a slogan. But, you know, what, I don't think we can go hardcore enough to be like, it's time for Democrats to stop being bitches. Like, that's obviously not a phrase, mm-hmm. but it's like, what?
Do you think that it would be helpful to do something?
A Democrat who's ready to fight. Mm. I mean, like, even though when we fight, we win. No. But I also think the idea of fight or. I'm sorry, you were going to say something?
I don't think I was.
Okay. Because I do think their intensity covers the fight. That's the masculine sort of code word there. But is there another way to convey these things where it's like, not new generation. I'm mixed race. I'm half immigrant. Like, I'm kind of a, you know what I am? Even though I have the sort of blue blood education with Williams and Georgetown, I am kind of like a grimier Obama. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a way of like, we were so impressed with Obama, but I don't think people are looking again for the polished, perfect, inspirational hero to come from the heavens and bestow upon us his greatness. I think people, you know what I mean? I come from somewhat, I wouldn't say this sounds like an insult, but like relative to lots of people, you know, my mom just worked her ass off and, you know, made something of herself, but you know, half Haitian, half Irish. Like, what? Like, I want to weigh, like, how do I convey from working class roots like something, not like common man, because I'm not common, but like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to throw out different things about myself that might lend themselves to a phrase, you know, will be post-Trump. It's Trump's last term. So you can assume J.D. Vance will be a front runner. MAGA will be probably feeling itself. Maybe they will have lost Congress. I think maybe a juxtaposition to the fact that I'm a comedian, because I keep saying serious people. I want that to be a theme of the campaign, like beyond partisanship, serious people ready to work is not, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's a phrase, but I don't like it. I don't like saying new generation, something like quipped like that, but that's what I'm looking for. Something that conveys, a sort of a new vision, but not a new, I don't even want it to be lofty. That's the thing. I feel like integrity, intensity, imagination can be a little lofty because mm-hmm. the first two are so grounded. Integrity and intensity is like, I got my hands in the dirt and I don't lie.
Yeah.
But strong leader, comedy, serious. It's time. Like, maybe it's time for serious people again.
Oh, that stinks.
Wow. Okay. I'm writing it down anyway. That may be like, okay, it does stink, but you get what I'm saying. But no, but you get like.
I do, but I think.
And
I also,
we are talking, yeah. By the way, I wouldn't be honest if I didn't say we are talking to a country that I have demeaned many times for being too simple. So I don't know. Make America Great Again. The hilarious thing about that is it's a ripoff.
Yeah.
It was Reagan's. So
Clinton said it too.
But he didn't make hats and make it like it was his
fair,
own.
Fair.
Like
fair.
He turned that. That's like he took that from Dolly, like the way Whitney Houston took I Will Always Love You from Dolly Parton.
Yes. Right.
It's like, oh, you like that Whitney Houston song? Well, actually, shut the fuck up. It's Whitney Houston's song now. It's Donald Trump's hate mantra.
Yeah.
But we will be not turn the page. I want something we've never heard, but that conveys it's time for serious people again. I know that it's time as a reflection of sort of turning the page on Trump. Mm-hmm. Make America gay again. Would that work? Probably not.
Well, you have all your hair. What about something with hair? What are the things that are easily attackable?
I've never spent more time Trump. With somebody who only they could come up with like intelligent, tall hair.
This is the type of campaign manager that you need. You need you because you're such a fucking Brooks Brothers, Georgetown,
Williams College. Don't you dare disrespect it.
That I think that. You need somebody that can speak to the simple people of this country.
I can speak
in a very
to the simple
plain
people.
Way.
I can speak to the simple people. I speak to them all the time.
But you need help.
They come to my
you
shows.
Hate them.
Yeah, but they don't know that. If you'd seen how many MAGA people were taking pictures with me after the show, just like, oh my God, you were incredible. And I was like, aren't I?
You're also literally putting me on the spot.
I know, but
you're like, all right, here's the topic that I decided we're going to talk about today, and I didn't tell you before we even started recording.
All right,
so I think I coming up with integrity. What did I say?
Imagination. You came up with.
Yeah, imagination. Yeah,
you can't take all three. You're trying to take all three.
Yeah, but the third one is the thing. It's the rule of three. You need to have the
you finish.
That's
it.
The
you finish
that's
it.
The finisher.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, if you can do that one more time.
I think that's pretty damn good.
Okay, if you can do it one more time, that's pretty damn good.
But I don't have anything to finish. I have to be the one that starts this
okay.
one.
Okay, let's put a clock on this. 5 more minutes before we break. We're not doing scandals today. This is just going to be
okay.
JL's, you know, we'll come up with a title, but this is JL's slogan.
Yeah.
And right now, integrity, intensity, and imagination is really good. You don't, and strength through strength as a.
I do like strength.
Thank you.
I didn't like it at first.
Right.
And then I was like, it's pretty dumb, but it's going to be dumb enough to kick ass in this country.
It kicks ass.
Yeah,
it's me being like, I'm not trying to come up with some fancy, artful phrase. Yeah. Strength through strength. I'm not dumbing it down. I'm making it simple. There's a difference. And that's a talking point.
Yeah.
People say, why do you dumb things down? I'm not dumbing them down. I'm making them simple. Being highfalutin and fancy and using the biggest words, I know plenty of words. how do I get the point across to the average person who maybe didn't go to the schools I went to, but understands the same concepts that I do?
Yeah.
So, slogan. I got to check off slogan. So I'm tall. I have hair. Mixed race, half immigrant, half native, all amazing.
Better than the last one you had.
Yeah, great. It's time for serious people again.
Yeah.
Like that, you hate that.
That was a loser.
It's a loser, but you hate it. But that is the kind of, that's not a poster, but that's the way an ad could end.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
You got to. The thing that I think a
because
lot
I
of
said it, I mean, I have to re-listen to the last episode. Yeah. Themes that I wanted was like serious people.
I just got to say, listen, yeah, as somebody that obviously would not vote for Trump, there's like no way.
Yep.
The one thing that I do identify about Trump as somebody that obviously still has a connection to the Trump voter, because yeah, I think New Jersey is like a stealth red state. Even though it's actually,
I felt like, know, I was in a battleground state finally.
Yeah.
I mean, we only won like 53 point something percent.
Trump could have gotten Jersey, I think, if he went to the parts of the Jersey that I have friends in.
You don't think they came out for Trump?
No. I'm saying that could have been, it wouldn't have shocked me if he had won Jersey.
I think he maxed out Jersey.
Yeah, I agree.
53, 52% for Democrats is like the maximum Republicans can do.
Yeah, I'm just saying there's a lot of Trump flags all over the state when you're driving around. So I know these people. And the one thing that they like about Trump is that Trump's not corny.
Right.
He's a bad guy. He is a felon. He is not particularly super smart, I think. But he's not corny. And that's the one thing that we haven't seen from a lot. Usually, like, candidates are very stuffy and very. So you have to sort of look past the fact that he's a horrible person.
Yeah.
And sort of the things that made him win. And it's, you know, if you're coming off at all like a class president of a high school, you're fucking dead.
Gotcha.
In my opinion. That's just what I think is going to happen moving forward. I think people are, that is why these guys going on Rogan and Theo Vaughn's show and all these shows. That's why I do think it was a factor, because it was sort of like an endorsement of like, wow, dude, Trump rips. He goes
she doesn't
podcasts.
Even do podcasts. Exactly. She doesn't even do podcasts.
As stupid as that sounds, it's like, I do think that's where people mentally are right now. And I think that is a sign of where the culture is. It's an awful thing as far as I'm concerned, but it's the reality. So it's like the worst thing you can do. That's why I think strength through strength works, because it's also a bit like funny, because it's like kind of dumb too, but it also does kind of kick ass. Like it's kind of perfect for like who you're trying to swing to, you know what I mean? So it can't be something that sounds like, oh dude, that's lame. Like that dude, what is he running for high school president? Like you can't have anything like that or you're dead.
Integrity, intensity really offsets what would be a, who says they're intense?
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
I say I'm intense.
Yeah.
That's who I am. You're getting these three traits that I would describe myself most in whatever the adjective for integrity is, that would get a laugh.
Yeah.
Integrity, intensity, imagination. That's what you're going to get with me.
Yeah. And I do think it's plain. It's like true to what your characteristics are. Whereas like time for adults is sort of just like, yes, it's time for adults, but also like, you know, 18 million people want to watch Logan Paul fight Mike Tyson.
Right.
You know, like nobody wants adults anymore, even though deep down maybe they do. Right. They don't want it on a poster.
Understood.
You know?
Okay. So we've come up with a good slogan. I need one more, and we've got, I'm saying 4 minutes to come up with another one.
It's a long minute.
I am. Thank you. We stop it when you talk. We toll the time clock.
I see.
Intense. I really think we might have hit it out of the park with this one, but I just feel like we need another option to compare it, to see like, oh, this one's actually pretty good too. Like if you just have one that you fall in love with, you don't see any weaknesses in it. Together, inclusive. I'm just saying, like the serious. comedy. Traveler.
Traveler?
The country.
Okay.
Being a comedian. I'm just, these are just, these are like.
Not what I was expecting to hear.
No, I'm just, I'm 10 seconds back, by the way. American original.
Red, white, and blue collar.
Haitian.
Not
Irish.
Even a no, I don't like that.
Haitian, Irish, American. United, forward. These are all things that have been used, like forward. And but what do you think I really want for this country based on how I talk in this show?
For it to be a different place.
Wise up, work out, win.
That's better than time for an adult.
Okay.
I don't think. Why are we going with alliteration again? We want that.
Well, I'm just you know what I mean? Because I was, winning is good, but winning, I'd be so tired of winning. And winning is also Charlie Sheen. Although if we could get Charlie Sheen,
yeah,
we'd probably get a few votes if he's like JL, John Lewis McBrien, winning. Righteous. Nope. Faith, freedom, fun.
It's another loser.
Of course.
For the audio listener, this must be a miserable experience right now.
It might be. I didn't have time yesterday to.
Why don't we allow the audience to try to give us a third.
Crowd work this, but right now the front runner, because it's the only one, is integrity, intensity, imagination.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to top.
And strength through strength is kind of a poster slogan. It's not the campaign slogan, but it's something.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, that's enough. We're gonna wrap. That's JL's slogan. We hand it to you. Mike has, as he often does, made me feel just a little less great.
How? So, I gave you your slogan.
Right. You looked on a thesaurus for children.
Yeah.
And found imagination.
Yeah, you didn't do that, motherfucker. Someone's got to do the work around here.
So I want recommendations for a slogan. We're not getting to my scandal because I can't.
But we know what's going to be next week's episode then.
JL's scandals.
Yeah. So this way we can prep that.
Okay. I'm walking. I may not be here. I may walk in front of the L train on my way
home.
Shut
up. You're fine.
So we're going to talk comedy talk probably for a lot longer than Mike wants this time. But yeah, comment, please leave a review, all that. But let us know. If, as you're listening to us, if you were like, oh, what about this? Write that
down.
Yeah,
but throw it in the YouTube comments.
Write it down. Yeah. But this one, if it's either really funny, and I think you guys know how the fuck I judge comedy, you better be damn sure it's funny or serious. If you make a bad, serious attempt, there will be no judgment. There will just be a thumb down on your comment. But if you make a bad joke, hell to pay.
Yeah, be in trouble, baby.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be alliterative, but obviously you guys probably know me better than Mike. I only sit here in a room with him every week for over a year. But you guys know me, so you come up with something that works. But right now, integrity, intensity, imagination, strength through strength. Those are the clubhouse leaders. That's the vision we're putting forward as of today for the campaign, and we'll be right back with some comedy talk. And we're back, everybody, for Comedy Talk. Mike.
JL.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling, you know, it's the first cold week of winter. I think I'm getting a little head stuffed, but, you know.
Okay. So you're definitely, though, when I become president, you're going to be, like, out at bars in Manhattan going, you know who came up with integrity, intensity, imagination? Me.
Maybe.
Speaking of which, how about some intensity ejaculation right now? Okay. Punchdown of the week, everybody. Now, I don't have, I posted a video. Donald Trump says Kash Patel is the next J. Edgar Hoover. It's a joke about him appointing somebody deeply unqualified. And it's one of my, many people are saying it's one of my best videos ever on this one. And a person commented on my YouTube channel. Now, mind you, I just did a 4-minute video of the thing that I do best in the world, which is crack jokes as Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This person commented, he likes me and his name is Cash, which sounds like Cash, and we like him. He says nice things about Trump. We like that name, Cash. FBI, next.
Is he doing a Trump thing?
Yeah. Okay. And I'll do the voice just to show how it doesn't sound like Trump.
Yeah.
Because I'll do it as Trump, and you'll be like, that's not what Donald Trump would say. He likes me, and his name is Cash, which sounds like Cash, and we like him. He says nice things about Trump. We like that name, Cash. FBI, next. I don't know why someone would
I can hear you hating it.
Well, I don't know why someone would write that under a video I just did for 4 minutes better than anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
And you write that. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you? I don't go to an Aaron's. I don't go to the social network, watch an Aaron Sorkin written movie, and then go on his Twitter and go, Facebook, Harvard.
Yeah.
How about, like, as I turn into Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Facebook? The Facebook? It's called the Facebook. We're going to drop the Justin Timberlake. Okay. Kind of Earth's mightiest social media.
God damn it. I was literally about to say it.
So that's the punchdown of the week. I don't know why people do that. I don't mean to say it's disrespectful. It borders on disrespect because it's like, what are you doing? Like the people who will sometimes write to me and go, hey, you can use this. One guy, the most recent one, just said, use this for your next Trump thing. And he wrote like a 2-paragraph garbage Trump monologue.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, can I use it?
Yeah.
Could I please? So that's the punchdown of the week. I really do a YouTube punchdown, but I thought that was very appropriate because it was like, okay, so did you not even watch my video? Because you would realize your comment is both bad and unnecessary.
Yeah.
I watched 2 specials, Mike. 2.
Oh, I'm only privy to 1.
Are you excited?
I am, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we got to get out of here in 7 minutes, so that's your saving grace.
Music to my ears.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hope when thousands show up to my rallies that you're not in the back. Like women are like taking off their shirts. Guys are falling. Guys are falling to their knees, praying, going, he is here, the Democrat to save us. And Mike will be backstage going, oh no, that's keep it going. What's wrap it up?
Wrap it up is this.
You'll be like, and they'll be like, thousands will be going, don't
leave. And
that's
not keep it going. This is keep it going. This is stretch.
What's this?
Nothing. Stretch is this. Wrap it up is this.
Okay. Well, no, people in movies do this like not as a technical thing, but as a like keep going so I can like distract somebody. Okay. Watch more movies, Mike.
I watch plenty.
Okay. Not those creepy French movies that you like. Okay. So first I watched Anthony Jeselnik, Bones and All.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
Have you ever heard of the comic Al Lubell?
I don't think so.
Okay. Very good comic. The kind of guy who had done like Letterman a half dozen times
because
Letterman loved him, but was not necessarily like really funny guy. He has a bit where he just says his name. It's not just him saying it, but his name is Al Lubell. And he must say his name like 150 times in the bit. Mm-hmm. And it becomes really funny. Mm-hmm. It's like really oddly repetitive, but you just start giggling and it's very good.
Yeah.
Anthony Jeselnik may have said Anthony more times than that.
Right. Because he does that where he goes, Anthony.
So my friend says to me, hey, Anthony,
yeah,
why don't you go grab some groceries? And I said, why should I do that? He said, Anthony, because we need groceries.
Yeah, right.
And I said, well, I already ate. And so my friend said to his wife, Anthony doesn't think he should go to the grocery store. And he looked back at me and said, Anthony, I think you should go. And I said, I think you should go. And he said, Anthony, I don't want to go. Every time he is referencing, and it's got to be an intentional thing.
Yeah.
Maybe like I'm going to like bury my name in their heads subliminally. Yeah. But he says his name a lot. Now, I have been watching Jeselnik since he came to prominence, basically.
Yeah.
I think his first big thing was maybe his Comedy Central half hour, or he may have had something before then, but he emerged and all of a sudden he was like kind of on a rock, like a rocket ship.
I remember.
And he was real dark, and he still is. And I appreciate a comic who's a little full of himself, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But this one, I predicted. I feel like sometimes, like Tony Romo, I sit on the couch and I predict punchlines. And the better the comic, the more satisfying it is when I predict the punchlines.
Yeah.
I've seen garbage comics that I'm like, pick six. I call it a pick six when I call your punchline.
Yeah, yeah.
And
there's all the way across the field.
Yeah, and I'm just like Deion Sanders high stepping it, like, you fucking hack.
Yeah.
And then my friends in LA like stole that from me. I said it during a show and backstage, and I was like, I looked at a friend of mine and was like, and then 3 seconds later, the guy was like,
yeah.
And I said, pick six.
Yeah.
And he lost it. And then I was told they were like using it outside of my presence. I was like, come on, give credit. But there were more, I predicted more jokes than I expected because he usually keeps me a little off balance, but it's not to say they were bad, but he is, it's like, it's one of these weird things when you're like, I've liked other specials of his more. I mean, could that be me being used to the format and the style? But of course, when somebody says if you're a Joe Rogan listener, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I love that. Of course.
Do too. Yeah. This press tour has been great.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like he is, and somebody said this, I can't take credit. I wish I could remember who said it on social media. It was like somebody I'm friends or social media friends with. But they said Anthony Jeselnik is white people's Cat Williams.
Yeah.
And I thought that's good. And he's more consistent on stage than Cat Williams, but it was good, but it's kind of when somebody is both a talented comedian and a bit of a like provocateur, mm-hmm. not in terms of like, look at me, I'm an edgelord. I mean like his press tour provoking, like I'm going to talk shit about these people.
Oh yeah.
I love it. I love the whole Jeselnik enterprise, but as a special, it was good. And I'm judging him on his work. But like I said, there are a lot of specials where I was like, ooh, shit, good one. But this one, I was like, you know, he's going to say this. And I called like several.
Yeah.
But that's also, I'm doing this a long time too, and I'm not a dummy. So like, but it's good. It's definitely solid. I kind of wish I'd been able to, I was traveling when he did was on this tour in New Jersey, because I actually kind of wanted to go to a live show, like of somebody like that. But it's good. It's on Netflix. I have really no problem with it. He doesn't get really preachy, which is great. His closer, he always like kind of holds himself up as like, look at this closer. Like the closer, you know, was fine. Like, mm-hmm. But you know, anyway, many of you have probably already watched it. Maybe you don't like Jeselnik, but he is a very good comedian and he's worth watching because in the JL presidential world, we need Jeselniks.
Yeah.
Like Jeselnik is one of those guys. What if he runs for president?
That now you got some competition.
Wow. Yeah, except when I get on stage and I dwarf him and I'm not looking like somebody off of like Yellowstone, but
he cuts you down with his eyes.
He's grown the hair and the mustache. Like he's, what are you, Chris, going to be the Chris Pine role in Hell or High Water 2? That wouldn't that be interesting? He was like, I'm running for president. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Still my bit.
You fucking douche. So the next special I watched, and I wanted to talk about this from a place of admiration, Dane Cook. I used to mock Dane Cook on the previous iteration of this show. I had a thing for about a year where I would just read one of his Instagram posts, and I'd call it a moment of Dane, because he was very into the kind of, he was doing fitness and like lots of, and he had gone through some shit. I think he lost both parents to cancer. His half-brother stole like $10 million from him. So he's perfect. Yeah. He's perfectly entitled to go through a self-help, self-healing kind of journey, if you will, if I can use many words I will not use on my campaign.
Smart.
But it still was kind of funny because he would post these long Deepak Chopra, like, but not kind of things. I once did a bit where he wrote a whole post on Instagram about, I'm a sapiosexual. That means I'm attracted to intelligence. And I would like deliver, I would read them like Dane Cook, even though they were these like deeply serious. It was like, I want to make a connection. Have you ever made a connection? And so I had this moment of Dane thing for a year. And it was fun and people liked it. But I don't know if he's still doing that nonsense on Instagram or if he's in a better place. But then I saw all of a sudden my YouTube algorithm on my smart TV just showed me that Dane Cook had a new special on YouTube, which in a weird way is kind of sad. Let's be honest. This is a man.
Yes, that's what I was. That was my first thought.
This is a man.
I said YouTube. Oh,
this is a man who was Matt Rife.
Yes.
Before Matt Rife and not reliant on crowd work.
Yes.
And so and he used social media, but he wasn't he didn't need social media to generate his bits.
It was like a fan club.
It was a fan club.
Yeah.
It was different than I've cracked the algorithm. It was like I cracked the system.
Right.
But my comedy is my comedy.
Right.
And my comedy
you're
is
here because you like my comedy.
Right. And he was, you know, a Steve Martin, Sebastian Maniscalco, Matt Rife level attraction.
Yeah.
And I think now he has so much money. The special is called Above It All, and it's filmed at his house in his backyard. Boy, oh boy. I wouldn't do comedy anymore either if I had a 24-year-old wife and like a $10 million Hollywood Hills mansion.
Yeah.
Why would I did it? I did comedy and I've achieved it. I've unlocked the secret. But I said, let's watch this. And I, and you know why I watched it? Because Dane Cook is one of these guys, and I've said this before. Last week we defended our mutual enjoyment of Kid Rock's music.
Yes.
Not as simple nostalgia, like it sucks now, but it was good. No. I can put in Devil Without a Cause and rock.
I'm going platinum.
Yeah. Only God knows why. Anyway.
Yeah.
My favorite thing was when
Only God knows why is a great song.
One of my sweet mates in college couldn't believe he loved mocking me. He was a Bruce Springsteen, Van Morrison, Neil Young guy. Loved mocking me for Chris Rock. And he heard Only God Knows Why. He's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Whoa, who's this? This is a good song.
Yeah.
I was like, you know who this is? Nah. Kid Rock. Get the fuck out. Like it was like it was like what a Republican does when they find out the woman they're sleeping with has a penis.
Yeah.
It was that level of crying game. Holy shit.
But Dane Cook.
So Dane Cook. What was I talking about? His house? Oh, Dane Cook.
House, yeah.
I don't look at like Dane Cook. I liked some of his stuff. That's just I'm not going to deny it to this day. You say BK Lounge and I'll go the pickles. And are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I was in high school.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
That was the biggest thing.
Guys, can you want more pickles? And it was, he was fun and he was an original. And I know people will go, but he stole that joke from, you think Louis C.K. would have had him on his show as a main plot point if he really thought he was an intentional joke thief? Mm. No. One of the great episodes of that otherwise so-so show, I thought, was the Dane Cook Louis episode. Where they he kind of confronts him about how you get to be the cool comic, and I'm like the guy, the sellout who nobody thinks is a real comic anymore. It was a really good episode. And I want to say this because I'm not just saying this like Dane Cook. I did like Dane Cook for a time, and then I thought they overexposed him. I think he was horribly managed, to be honest. Too many movies, too many shitty movies in a row instead of making him a supporting actor and letting him build up his movie credentials. They were like, we got to get you now. They acted like there was a fire sale on him. And I think it really hurt his longevity. He had a really good special on Showtime. I was surprised, like, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 years ago. I forget. It was something with an I. It started with an I. But the point is, Dane Cook, whether you like him or not, in this age of art that we're always shitting on now, he was an original and he has remained true to the thing he does.
Yep.
He talks about different stuff. He's not as animated. His bits are a little longer, more storytelling. But he created, whether you like it or not, in a sort of objective way, that's what an artist is. And this new special, I actually found myself just kind of smiling because I was like, it's Dane Cook. Like, I hate the era we are in of art.
Yeah.
And Dane Cook, like him or not, was kind of an original. And somebody out there is like, he actually was ripping off Steve Martin. Okay, whatever. Dane Cook, to me, has his lane. He created his lane, his style. You don't have to like it. But watching it, I was just like, he's like aging a little bit, but he still had like kind of, he was still being Dane Cook. He wasn't trying to be new or edgy or like, whoa, look at me. And was it good? Not really. No, I'm Mike is tapped out. I thought I might get a chuckle out of him. No, I laughed at some parts. I don't think it was great by any means. But I thought it was good. I enjoyed watching it, if that makes sense. It kind of brought me back. Not because I was a kid and Dane Cook used to be my favorite. And boy, nostalgia is great. It brought me back to a place where we made comedians who were originals.
Yeah.
Where people were originals. He came up because all he had was comedy. He was a stand-up comic and he made a persona and a delivery and a set of material that was his. And I just found myself enjoying watching him still do it because it reminded me of that. I laughed at some stuff for sure, but I don't think it was great. It was in his house. I don't know how hungry, ambitious you can be when you're performing for some probably fan contest winners in your spacious backyard in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just, I enjoyed watching it. Even if I didn't think it was, do I think Anthony Jeselnik's special was the better stand-up special? Yes. Of course, like, and he'd probably be like, why are you even comparing us, JL? I was talking to this comedian, JL, and he said, Anthony, I watched your special. Anyway, I got to go, guys. But the point is, if you ever liked Dane Cook, I think you'd enjoy watching his new special. If you never liked Dane Cook, that's fine. But if you ever did, if you thought like me that he was good, he was fun, and then he fell off, it's kind of nice to revisit it in a new form. Like, it's not rehashed bits. It's a new form. And I know that's kind of a hokey way to end comedy talk, but I think sometimes it's important not to just be like, this special was great. This special sucked. Don't watch this. Watch this. It gave me more of a feeling. I laughed a little, but it gave me like a good feeling because it just made me remember when, you know, when we weren't just mass manufacturing fucking TikTok algorithm chasers. So on that note, everybody, and oddly enough, he's probably the one who inspired a lot of these people, but they've looked for the shortcut. He actually did it the real way. So if you're interested in that, go watch it. And if not, you know, don't watch it. How about that? So I got to go, folks. Thank you for dealing with this episode as we sort of workshopped in real time. But I think we came up with a winner. But obviously, we want to hear your feedback. And you know the deal. I told you about my shows. Obviously, I got Half Blackface. We got a couple new reviews finally for Half Blackface. Go check it out on Amazon Prime and leave a nice 5-star review if you enjoy it. Or if you have enjoyed it and, you know, review the podcast. We got a couple of new reviews on iTunes. I think we're still getting some on Spotify. Review the audio product, comment and interact on the YouTube and share it, guys. I know a couple of people told me they'd shared it. Keep sharing it. The more listeners, the more Patreons, the more the show spreads and we all have fun. So thank you, Mike. Anything before I run for the train?
Nope.
Okay. I will see you next Thursday.